Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're talking about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to be talking again about this diverse lusts, and I'm looking at all my buttons to make sure everything's running. But anyway, in the last show, we talked about the fact that Jesus Christ was actually a king of the Jews, and the Jews accepted him. So anybody who tells you the Jews didn't accept Jesus, that's ridiculous. There were Jews who didn't, and there were Jews who did, thousands didn't. And the reality of those that did were Israel. They were the kingdom of Judah, and many of the lost tribe people eventually accepted Christ, and for 1,000 years they lived without kings, for the most part, kings that could exercise authority. They often had men that would be referred to as kings, but I give a very interesting story that I gleaned from ancient documents. Around 600, 700 AD, there was this huge march of men from in Europe moving towards a castle of a guy who said he was king over all the villages nearby and the towns nearby and the district nearby. And he was oppressing the people under his exercising authority. And this army just appeared out of nowhere, coming from all these different directions. They saw them coming. They knew they were coming. And they sent out emissaries to meet the army. And the emissary came back and said he was unable to negotiate a peace, and they were still coming. And he says, "Why didn't you talk to their king?" And he says, "Well, they say they are all kings. They have no king." And of course, you know, when I was studying history of the Teutons, I discovered that there was this Artemis, and who was also known as Hermann the German, and he was an exchange student to Rome and knew Roman tactics, military tactics, and he switched sides. He was going to help the Germans because he was originally a German, a Teuton, and of the Germanic tribes. And he says, "Well, this is what they're going to do, and this is what we need to do." And he helped organize these Teutons to fight the well-equipped, well-trained centurions who were coming. And the centurions outnumbered the Teutons. And now I say he helped organize them. I say he helped organize them because they were really extremely well organized already. They were organized by the tens, hundreds, and thousands. That was the basic foundational structure of all free governments throughout the history of mankind. And you, of course, studied that in great depth in your public schools. They did teach you about that. Oh, they didn't teach you about that in your public schools? I wonder why that. That they didn't teach you the major, consistent form and structure of free governments? They didn't tell you anything about that in your public education courses? They must have taken that out of history, because it is the most predominant form of government, and certainly the only successful form of self-government recorded in man's history. But it is the most predominant form of government throughout man's history. This modern dependence on centralized government is really an aberration, and it's pervasive today, but it has not been pervasive throughout society, throughout the history of mankind. So anyway, I was being a little sarcastic there if you didn't catch that, but the reality is that he helped organize this group to fight the Romans in a particular way that was going to be very successful, and was very successful, but it didn't prove that you were to get a lot of spoils, because they lost a lot of the spoils in the way they attacked the Roman army. But they defeated the Roman army to the man. There was nothing left by the time they were done. The entire 15,000 man army of the Romans was completely decimated out of existence. And they did get some spoils from that, but they lost a lot because the way in which they knew they had to attack. Now the next time he led them against the Romans, he changed his tactics because he wanted the spoils, because he wanted them for himself. And they lost lots of men. They were successful, but it was at a great cost. And then he tried to set himself up as an emperor of the Teutons. And eventually his own family beheaded him, saying, and put his head on a spike, and said, "It is not that we do not want a Roman emperor, it is that we do not want an emperor at all." They had a different form of government. It was highly successful, but it's only really successful with men that are full of virtues, and there's lots of different virtues, and of course they were strong in some and weak in others, and so it didn't work forever, but the Romans had a real hard time conquering them. And this is the same reason why they had a hard time in Scotland and Ireland and Wales, is because these people had this other form of self-government that made them a strong people. It's why Israel was so strong. And if Jesus was king of the Jews and the church was still claiming Jesus as their king, and they were functioning as a self-government, operating though not with the system of force that you see in Rome and Canada and the United States and England and all these nations today, but they were operating according to the perfect law of liberty, and you taxed yourself to support the government, and all the power of choice as to what you would do and participate in that government remained within your family, which is what these voluntary governments and how they operate. Then the church was Israel and had the responsibility of government and had to take care of the needy of society through faith, hope, and charity rather than force. So the daily bread was distributed by the church, and we see that in 150 AD, and that's how it functioned. And God heard their prayers and made them a successful people. People don't understand that. And so I wrote a book so that they understand a little bit more about what is God's government, what God's government doesn't look like. And of course, Thy Kingdom Come is one of them. But the one I mention here on this page is the higher liberty, this perfect law of liberty, this higher liberty, this power of authority in a free government is with the people. And the only thing you give to your ministers is sufficient funds to fulfill the tasks which you think need to be done. And if he doesn't do a good job, you give it to a different minister next week. And you're amazed that if you are virtuous people and God is in your heart, you will be a successful people, even during very hard times, even in very difficult times, you will be a very successful people. And so anyway, that's more study. And on this page now, I've added some, I was interviewed at the University of Northern Colorado, and there's, I think there's 10 parts or 8 parts to that interview. So it's about 60 to 80 minutes long altogether, but they broke up into 5 and 10 minute segments, and you can listen to those on that website at preparingyou.com, Diverse Lusts, and we'll be adding audios, more audios. We already have some audios up that are explaining a lot of this, but now we're down into a section where I'm talking about these false do-nothing Christians who say, oh, you don't have to do any works, who do not know the gospel. God nor Christ use verses like Acts 3:19-21 that talk about those who repent, but they have not repented themselves, but are living like the Pharisees because their false preachers are not telling them the whole truth. And then I go on, therefore they are not converted, nor are their sins blotted out, because like Cain, they have gone out of the presence of God. They claim Christ, but they're actually workers of iniquity, and Christ talks a great deal about that in his own. These false ministers are not his holy prophets, and they're not his holy church, and they are actually leading the people astray. But many of them talk about prophecy, and again, we'll be addressing that in an upcoming series on confronting the beast, because we're not just talking. Now, we talked earlier in the previous show about the secret of understanding the gospel is not in reading the Bible, although you may read the Bible, but if you don't have this secret, reading the Bible will not do you any good. If you have this secret, reading the Bible will be a great tool in inspiring that revelation. But the key is that revelation. Now, how do you get closer to that revelation? Is that you have to get closer to God to hear him, because he has a still small voice. You have to get closer to him You have to draw near him. And one of the ways the Bible has always said to draw near him was through sacrifice. And now sacrifice doesn't mean just cutters who cut themselves. They're sacrificing, but they're not drawing near God. They're actually drawing near the other side. They're drawing away from God. And they're being pulled that way, and they become given over to a mind that makes them think that this is sometime helping them. We can help them come back away from that if they really want. But the one who really helps them is God himself. But these false Christians are talking about this dispensation of grace of God. And they've created this whole eschatology about it. Now, there is a dispensation of grace. And you aren't saved by works. I agree with all that. But what that looks like, these modern Christians are falsely interpreting. They're thinking that you can keep on going sinning. You can live like the Pharisees. You can make the word of God to none effect. You can do all these things, but if you say in your head that you believe in Jesus Christ, you literally, what they're saying is they literally are saving themselves by their thoughts. Their mind can keep them well. Their mind can set them free. They don't have to be doers of the word. They don't have to really receive Christ in the lower platform of their heart. They just have to do it up in their head. And then they're automatically saved. They've saved themselves by their imagination. And it's a vain imagination because what they're thinking is not showing that fruit of repentance. So anyway, on this page, we go through a lot of things, and I've got lots of footnotes in there. Acts 3:19-21 is repent ye therefore and be converted. You don't convert yourself. You are converted. When the prodigal son returned, he came back to serve. He didn't do any serving, but he was forgiven. But what do you think happened the next day? If the next day, when he got up, he says, well, I don't really want to do what my dad wants to do. I'm back. He's forgiven me. I can just go gambling this afternoon instead of fixing the fence on the back 40. Well, then his forgiveness is going to be gone. He's going back to his old ways. And Jesus warns when he casts out demons, that it will be worse with you if you do not change. So it says, repent ye therefore and be converted. If you do not allow yourself to be converted, if you don't start acting upon the revelations that you receive, acting in righteousness, if you don't start that, you're going to be just as bad off and even worse off than you were before. And this is what's happening with many of those modern Christians who say they've accepted Jesus, but they're not really changing. And once you begin to understand that Jesus Christ was king, the Jews did accept him, they formed another government that the decrees of Christ were listened to and followed, and they were in Ephesus, and they were in Corinth, and they were in all the places that Paul went, preaching the gospel of Christ, which we talked about in previous shows. That's who Paul was talking to when he talks about brethren and believers. The people who are actually being converted and being perfected by their works, which Paul says, that your sins may be blotted out, that your sins may be blotted out, may be blotted out. But if you won't be converted, if you will not change your ways, you haven't really repented. You're just talking. And Jesus gives you a whole parable about this. It's not a mystery, and I'm just explaining it. Two sons. One says, I'm going to go do it. I believe. But he doesn't. Another one who says, I don't believe. But then he thinks, I've got to go do it. I've got to go do it. I'm just convicted. It's just in my heart. I got to go do it. So which one is the son? The one he said but didn't do, or the one who did do? Well, there you go. So you have to be converted. You have to change your ways. And, you know, I also talk about, you know, politics and stuff like that. I don't promote politics. I'm apolitical as far as the politics of the world. That's none of my business. But, you know, I talk about it in order to use it as an example that the politics of the world, you know, that is beckoning you. Like if you change your leader here, suddenly you will be saved. You know, but that's not the case. Unless you change, you're not going to be saved. I don't care who you elect, he'll go nuts and do crazy things. Eventually, he'll deliver you just the same as the other guy. Now, I mean, I'm not telling you not to go out and vote or anything, but that's not what I'm here to talk about. I'm here to talk about this other government, this other form of government that needs to be written in your heart and your mind by God, and you need to be acting upon so that you may be converted and perfected in your faith. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. There's not anything new. Revealing the mystery doesn't make it new. This is, he's telling you the details. He's explaining the connections. And we've done that in our in different quantum shows, what we call quantum or string theory shows. We show you the spiritual connection, and we're going to have to show you that in the series on Confronting the Beast. Because if you don't make those connections and you try to confront the beast, you're going to be eaten up. You need those connections, those powerful spiritual connections. How do you get them? How do you make them? Well, again, go back to repent ye therefore and be converted. You can't change yourself. You have to be changed. What you can do is alter the direction you choose to go in. Turn around and face the other way. You have to have not the varied lusts of the world, but the lust of righteousness. Not for yourself. Because remember, part of the reason you're in the problem you're in is because you started doing everything for yourself. But you have to start doing for others. You have to start serving others. This is why Christ came to serve. And this is why he tells you what is better, to be served or to serve others. This will draw you near. This is a secret. This is part of the mystery. That when you begin to seek to serve others rather than yourself and serve them in righteousness in a way that strengthens them, you will not be converted. You will not be changed. Because in stepping down or trying to step down to that place of action out of love, you're going to come face to face with the amounts and elements of not love in you. What are those elements where love doesn't exist in you? Those empty, dark recesses of your own heart. And Jesus talks about them. Now think of yourself as this hollow cavity, this empty temple. And it's real dark in there. There's no electric lights or anything. And in there, you bring the light of Christ and you see something about yourself that you're willing to see, that you're vain or whatever it is, that you've been arrogant, that you've been selfish, and you see that and you don't want to be that way. You're fasting from that arrogance. Okay, now you have a little light. It's a huge room. That light doesn't even go out to the walls. Then there's these little chambers, mini mansions in your heart. And you got to go into each one and say, who's in here? And there's some beasties in there. There's some evil lurking about in the darkness of your heart. And we've talked about how that works spiritually in the spiritual realm. How if you do something evil, judge, injure, be cruel, be selfish with somebody, and you know it was, but you don't want to admit it, so you hide from that knowledge. You hide that knowledge from your conscious mind, from the screen. You don't want to play that back on the screen of your mind. It's there. It's in you, but you don't want to do that. So now that creates a shadow in your heart, a dark place in your heart, a dark room in your mind that you don't go in. You don't want to look at. You don't want to see what's in there. Well, that's a great habitation for influence from the world. Both the fact that you don't really go in there and look at yourself as you really are and see yourself and confess your sins openly to yourself. But you have created a habitation for demons to influence you, to make it so that when you're discussing something you will not understand important elements of the discussion, because the only place you could get the understanding is to go into that part of your brain where you have hidden yourself from, because that's where you store this information about things that you've done. So if you have a bad relationship with a person, you probably will not be able to sit down and reason with them until you are willing to see your part of that bad relation, your judgment in that relationship, your unrighteous, unmerciful, selfish judgment in that relationship. You will not be able to reason with that person unless they change to something else, and then you'll be able to reason with to whatever they change to. They have to become like you. They have to become angry like you. This is why people who are full of anger want to make you angry, because then they can communicate with you. But they can't communicate with you if you're standing in love and they're standing in hate. What they're going to want to do is get rid of you. They want to burn you at the stake. They want to consume you. They want to throw you in a pit. They want you run out of town. They can't stand your presence. They have to get rid of you. And what's your defense? You need to put on the full armor of God. If you want to walk the ways of Christ, don't walk them halfway. When you turn around and start going the path of Christ, don't look back. Go all the way. Get that whole armor on in every aspect of your life. You say, oh, I like this, some of the stuff that Brother Gregory says, but you know, I don't want to mess with congregations. You know, I don't. People are, they just. I'm just so impatient with people. I just don't want to have anything to do with them. Big mistake, folks, because you don't have the full armor. Full armor means you gotta love one another. You gotta care. You gotta have patience. You have to be long suffering. Love is long suffering. I mean, like, would you go into battle with a blunt sword? If the tip was broke off your sword and you had to go into battle the next day, don't you think you'd take that down to a blacksmith and get that tip put back on there? If the handle's loose, don't you think, let's get this handle fixed before the battle begins? This is what you need. This is why you need congregations. Because you're going to have all kinds of testing of the Spirit going on in those congregations, forming a network of charity. You need to be giving regularly within your network, within your local congregation, and that local congregation needs to be putting those funds to work somehow, somewhere. And when hard times come, they can change the direction of those funds. You know, right now, maybe they should be advertising to build more congregations for other places. You know, don't always do things for your local congregation. You should be equally doing things for your neighboring congregations. You see, that's the precept. And people say, well, I don't want to give. You know, I would rather buy. No. Fast from that selfishness. Give. Give locally. Give consistently. I mean, do you think you could get by with your heart only beating 5 days a week? It's not going to work that way. You got to beat consistently. And I tell you, when you start doing that in love, now you're going to see occasionally that you're doing it out of fear. And this is one of the things we're going to have to talk about in the prophecy series, is when you're moving out of fear and anxiety and frustration, and when you're moving out of love. Because if you're not moving out of love, you're blocking the light of Christ in your own heart. You're creating a dark spot. You're feeding that dark spot, and you're feeding whatever's in it. And it will lead you astray. It will undermine. And if you really get close to the truth, it'll pull the rug out from underneath you. It'll destroy your family. You watch. You watch for that anger and that impatience in your heart, in your mind. And people are talking about a lot of things coming up soon. There was somebody talking about blood moons. I won't get into the details. I'll save that for that series. But, you know, we have to be very careful. Very careful. Anyway, on the webpage at Diversalize, we have several other articles. Golden Calf. Not articles, but videos. Golden Calf, Mammon, Baptism, One Purse. You go through those and you're going to see, we're going to be laying chunks of puzzles. Pieces of the puzzle that have already been put together. And this, you got a giant, you know, 1 million piece puzzle that we're trying to put together. And, you know, you see all the pieces in a big pile and you have no idea what the picture is. But if you put, you know, a chunk of pieces together about what was going on with the golden calf. What is mammon? What was the baptism of Christ? What was the baptism of Herod? And how did it make a difference? What does it mean the way of, you know, one purse runs towards evil and death? What does that mean? And so we talk about these things. These are pieces of the puzzles, and they're put together so that you have the chunks of this together. And those chunks will start forming a clearer and clearer image. But then what you see, again, remember, you have to go out and use that accordingly. These false believers that we still pray to, men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority, are not willing to forgive. And this is a really important thing. In order for them to obtain forgiveness, they must forgive. If you will not forgive, neither will you be forgiven. Now, you're all in debt, and debt and forgiveness are one and the same. Forgive us our debtors, forgive us our trespassers, as we forgive those who trespass against us. We're going to explain what that means when we return to Keys of the Kingdom after this brief break.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean, and how's this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom, and we're talking about forgiveness, and we know that Christ said, if you don't forgive, neither will my Father in heaven forgive you. And we know that forgiveness and debt are hand in hand. There was a whole long parable about a servant who was forgiven debt. Forgiveness, there you go, debt, forgiveness. And then he went out and was not forgiving debt, was actually demanding payment from others. And he was eventually grabbed up and cast into a dungeon or something of some form because of his unforgiveness, because he was not righteous in any way. Well, now you look at the whole world is in debt. Every single country is operating in the red. And this is a manifestation of a spiritual reality. So when I talk about some of these things in the physical realm, you want to understand that you cannot just change the physical realm without being changed in the spiritual realm. And if you are changed in the spiritual realm, changing the physical realm becomes easy because spirit is master of who you are. The spirit that dwelleth in you is the master of you. That's how you are converted. You have to make room in your heart for Christ to live in you and act according to the guidance of that spirit, and then you will be converted. And you will receive the armor of God. If you do not make a place in your heart for Christ and the Holy Spirit, then you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, and there's nothing I can tell you that will save you. And I can tell you exactly what's going to happen in the future with prophecy and what this, that, and the other thing, and it won't do you any good because you haven't changed in the Spirit, and you must change in the Spirit. And then you actually, even when I said originally, is you have to make room for the Holy Spirit because you cannot conjure up the Holy Spirit. You cannot make it come where you want it to be. It listeth where it will. That's what they're telling you. These are principles. And they apply. And you see, what they do, most of these preachers are giving you bits and pieces to conform you to their personal eschatology. That's what all these religions and denominations are all about. Very easy to take all my writings and all of our radio programs and start, I don't know if it'd be easy because there's a lot of stuff to cover there, but, and create a new religion. You know, the gospel, my gospel, according to Brother Gregory. That's not where we want to go. We want to go to the gospel of Christ. And all I'm doing is showing you that what they're telling you doesn't fit what Christ said. If it doesn't fit, you must acquit. I'm pulling from the that famous trial. I won't even go and name the name. But anyway. If it doesn't fit, you must quit following that preacher. And it doesn't fit. If he tells you that the Jews didn't accept Jesus Christ, that don't fit. It don't fit, period. Because what were all those guys on Pentecost? What were all those guys who held him as the highest son of David? What were all the apostles and the people in Ephesus and everywhere else doing when they said, these are the ones that say there is another king? Were those not Jews? And they accepted him. And they said he was king. And when every time you see the word Christ, that means Messiah, anointed. That's what you call the king, anointed. President-elect, Jesus Christ. That's what it was. That's why governments gave him a hard time. They still paid the imposed taxes and things like that, but they weren't a part of that social welfare system run through the temples of Rome. The 501c3 temples of Rome. It wasn't just the 501c3 temples of Rome. I mean, you could be a registered religion in Rome, and then you weren't a foreign religion. And you could build your own temple, and that was fine. That's why they had so many different temples. Saturn was one of those. But Saturn was actually a government building. And it would hold things like your, that's where you registered your birth certificates so that you would know when you were eligible for your benefits. But their system of benefit had moved from what it had once been in Rome to a system of compelled offerings. And that makes the word of God to none effect. So now you've been a member of a similar system of Corbin, a similar social welfare system, for some of you for 30, 40 years. And now you're eligible. You're 65. I'm 65 or over. And I would be eligible for those benefits. And I paid in enough to be eligible for those benefits. And I could start collecting those benefits. Except as a minister of Christ, I had to give up my rights to those benefits. Every minister of Christ, every ordained minister of Christ, has to give up their right to entitlements. They have to, because Christ said so. If they tell you, no, we don't have to be ordained ministers of Christ, that doesn't fit. What do you say? You have to give up all your property rights. You have no, and actually those benefits aren't even property rights, but you have to give up right to those. Now, the people don't have to give them up. But as they begin to become convicted of what those systems are based on, the one purse, and you can go back and listen to the video on one purse, then you're going to say, you know, I should never even join this system. I shouldn't have been. It was voluntary. It was voluntary. I didn't even know that. And the reality is that, but now you're in it. Now you have to turn around and start going the other way and edifying the kingdom in your life. Like the prodigal son who realized, I screwed up. I'm feeding the pigs. I'm working day and night and I'm hardly getting anything back. And the whole system is about to collapse. His pig farmer, you know, his pigs are all becoming sterile because they're all eating GMO grains. And he's going to go out of business. I should have stayed with my dad. I'm going to go back to my daddy's house. But I don't even deserve to go back. Right. Okay, got it. Write it down. I tell you, I'll go back to my daddy's house and I'll offer to be a servant. That's what the prodigal son's story is telling you. That fits. That's where you're at. So you have to gather together in congregation, start serving one another. And God will count that effort as righteousness if it's sincere. And he will give you more blessings. He will reveal more of the mysteries of the kingdom through revelation. And iron will sharpen iron. And that's the way it works. That's the way the kingdom works. That's the way back to the kingdom of God, where God is your king and ruler. And you're going to need that because Christ knows the secret of walking on water. And if you're going to be sailing in the Titanic, which is where you're at right now, full steam ahead, headed for the iceberg, with the Federal Reserve at the helm, and it doesn't have to be the United States government. I'm sure you'll find the same thing going on in all the others. I don't want to pick on the poor United States. I mean, it is the poorest nation in the world because it's the most in debt. So it's not even up to broke yet. So, yeah, it's really poor, and it's becoming one of the less free nations in the world. But again, I don't want to pick on it because I think that some of the greatest people in the world happen to be located in America right now. And I also think some of the most evil people in the world are also located in America right now. And I'm not alone in that opinion. But the reality is, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. It matters what you're doing. It matters what direction you're going in. And so you say, well, they owe me. I paid in. So where was charity? All these free societies operated by charity, free will offerings. And they paid in. Did they get to force their children and grandchildren to take care of them? No, they had to take care of them out of free will offerings too. Now, you haven't been using free will offerings. You need to start going back to that. You need to start, the sooner the better. Start heading back. Don't put that off. Say, well, you know, I'm going to keep feeding pigs here for a little while longer. Don't start heading back. And while you head back, you're going to have to be faithful to the unrighteous mammon, unless you become one of those ordained ministers. Then you don't have any rights over there anymore to any of those benefits, and you're going to have to go it alone. But don't try to become a minister to get out of something. Try to become a minister to become a part of something that you actually believe in. if that's your calling. Because some of you aren't called to be ministers, you know, ordained ministers of the church. You're not called like the Levites out of the system. Everybody's kind of called, but the Levites had a particular spiritual calling come out, and they did. And the apostles had a spiritual calling, and they had to give up their personal estates, like Christ said, and own all things in common in order to form that government of God that was going to operate by the perfect law of liberty and faith, hope, and charity. So that when the people decided to get baptized, which was literally opting out of one system, system set up by Herod, and opting into system set up by Christ, there were people already there operating that system. And it was stumbling and faltering right away at the beginning. And so you see in Acts 6 where they say the daily ministration being neglected. And they came up with another way. And we already know what that other way is. But we don't have enough people that are now, we haven't had our Pentecost yet. And it could come any day now. So those of you who are hearing now and want to become a part of this, I just had a call a little bit ago. Actually, we had a couple calls here, but I don't have anybody answering the phone. So stop calling the church number because everybody's left but me. And I can't answer your call until after we're done with the broadcast. So unless if you've got the secret number for the broadcast, then I can take your call on the air. But the reality is that we have to forgive and say, okay, I paid in all those years. You owe me nothing. You owe me, and I'm talking about the ordained minister. Now, if you can afford to say, I'm not going to take any benefits from Social Security and you're eligible, great. But I don't want anybody starving to death. I don't want anybody crippling themselves so that they can say, I gave it up, but my family all starved to death, because he who doesn't provide for his family is worse than an infidel. And I think it was an infidel. Was it a heathen? Was it an infidel? I can't remember the quote now. But anyway, it's bad. So the point is that you need to start building that alternative system. And we see elements of that in these charities that are starting to want to get back to the 1920s, when people actually took care of one another, and they've got that, was it Mercury One that Beck created? And it's really kind of a worthwhile attempt, but it's not quite kingdom. The spirit shows an effort that they're trying to go in a particular direction, but they need a little bit more advice, because they need to take more steps in that direction. And what we show in the book, That Kingdom Come, and the Free Church Report, is what those steps could look like now. And we have the minister's manual. You can't just get that downloaded. And we don't even sell that. We want to see what you're doing. And there's a lot more that we could share with you, and a lot more we could do if you guys would start coming together and forming these congregations of record and regularly sponsoring them, and they working together with the other ministers start doing what the early church was doing. There's a great many ways and tools that we could use to manifest that spirit worthy of repentance to become that free government of God. And you don't get the freedom first, and you don't get freedom at all without taking back responsibilities. But you have to repent and reverse the way you've been doing things and start doing them the righteous way. And this is what it's all about. Now, in this page on diverse lust, like I said, I had a number of the pieces of the puzzle laid out in these videos. And you can watch them, and you can actually watch them all if you type in video up there. You'll find lots of videos to watch, and we're going to have more and more audios, and we're trying to archive them in a way where they're all based on subject line. And we need more workers to do it, because everybody's working here full time. But anyway, the false believers still pray to the men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other, and they don't want to forgive their neighbor's debt. They still want their benefits, and even though they know the system is failing and already failed and going to fail even worse, and it's bringing about inflation and all that stuff, they keep persisting, and they kind of want to keep doing the same thing, hoping for a different result. You have to do something different. And so they also use quotes, these false Christians, also use quotes like we see in Colossians 2:13-14, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Again, who's Paul talking to? He's talking to those people who have already repented and headed back to be servants in their father's house. They haven't done any work necessarily at that point, but they've actually headed in that direction. Your modern Christian thinks, I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go back to my father's house to be, I can stay wallowing in the pig mire, and all my sins are transed out because I forgiven because I thought a thought. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't fit. Get away from it. Quit that kind of goofy stuff. Blotting out the handwritten ordinances that was against us. What were those? Those were all the statutes and regulations. People tell me, we're not under the law anymore. They're under a million laws. They are again entangled in the bondage of the world. What world? The constitutional order and systems of governments of men, where they have elected Sauls and commanders and chiefs and rulers over themselves and over their neighbors in one per systems that make the word of God to none effect. They're under the law again. They're just not under God's law at all. They've gone under other men. And the guys who say, oh, but we've always been under governments, Moses and all the blah, blah, blah. Why aren't you under Christ? Why aren't you under the government of the church? Knowing full well that the church cannot exercise authority. Because if you were under such a government, you would be in a republic where the leaders were titular. They had no power over you. That's called a free government. You would be the government of the people, for the people, and by the people, if that were the case. Anyway, you're doing contrary to the ways of Christ. And your ordinances, your million ordinances that you have, including the one in Title 42, Section 666, that says you can't get a business license, marriage license, driver's license, or any other kind of license without the mark of the government, the number of the government, the Social Security number. You have to have that. Title 42, Section 666. Go look it up. I didn't number it. They numbered it. You have to have that. And we'll talk about that in our detailed study of the mark of the beast in the confrontation and confronting the beast. But you're going to be surprised where some of you will be surprised where we go in that series. And maybe by the time you hear this, for some of you, if you hear it a long time from now, this is a live show that goes out and then it's eventually made available to other people on the station, and eventually we'll put them in series and add them to web pages and everything. But of course, they will be making new shows and taking you a step farther towards the kingdom. But we want you to use these as learning tools, those of you who are listening live or getting it live. And we recommend that you join the Living Network so that you can make it live in your life, because you have to act upon what you learn. Anyway, these false Christians like to excuse their continued policy of sin and coveting their neighbor's goods through these systems of these men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority with statements like, the fact is that we are all sinners and none of us measure up to God's holy and perfect standards. Only by believing the gospel can we be saved and have Christ's righteousness imputed to us. But you have to really believe the real gospel. And these guys are not doing it, because what they're doing doesn't fit to what the early church was doing. They're just simply not doing what the early church did. But they do not know the gospel, I go on to say, nor Christ, nor God, nor Moses, nor any of these things. And they remain workers of iniquity rather than seekers of the kingdom of God and his righteousness. They don't go back to be servants in their father's house. Therefore, they, as prodigal sons, are not forgiven because they will not forgive. And they are not doers of the word. They are making the word of God to none effect. So I have a little section on bad news, and I got Romans 3:23 here. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he goes on to say, this is stuff that he puts in. Yeah, all have sinned. So does that mean that Christ died so that you can continue to sin? And that you can continue to go away from his presence and out of his way? Jesus says the way is narrow. Is strive. You know, Paul goes and tells you, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. And if anybody does these things, don't have anything to do with them. So you're telling me that you can do this and 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 you're still saved and you're still brethren? No. He's saying if you don't have these principles manifested in your life, you're not showing me worthy of repentance. You haven't repented. You don't really believe in God and you are not saved. Romans 3:19-21, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty. This is in Romans. They're talking about the new members of Judea, the citizens of Judea, the new members of the citizenship of Judea under the King Jesus Christ, do they also have to get circumcised? Because these are theocratic governments. And if you profess Christ, you are now in his government. This is why Paul is getting audiences with kings, because he's the head of a government. He's one of the apostles of the government. There were a lot of apostles other than the first original 12, the 120 in the upper room, as an example. They almost all became what we call apostles, ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And they were running a government. But do they have to get circumcised? That's not part of that government. They could certainly do that. He was comparing the Pharisaical statutory laws they were trying to impose on the Romans, and he's saying, look, that's not the key. The key is, are you living by faith, hope, and charity? Are you living by the perfect law of liberty? If you don't have charity, it doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not. So we're going to emphasize the charity. And those are the ones he's calling brethren, the ones that are taking care of one another, so that no Roman Christian had to go get free bread at the Temple of Saturn and flash his birth certificate so that he could obtain it, that benefit, or the little things they had, the equivalent to our EBT cards. It was a little coin that you had to give. I forget the name of it, but I've got a picture of it on the web there somewhere. But anyway, they're taking these quotes out of the context of what the early church was doing, and most of them have no idea what the early church was doing, and that's the blame of the ministers. Now, I admit that the ministers were deceived too, but if once they're confronted with these facts, they should be able to figure this out, because this is the gospel, and Revelation should show them, and some of you are awakening to this. Now you must act so that ye be converted. And so the next section that we're going to do on this down towards the end is the good news, and then we have a little section on, or it's actually a pretty big section on Facebook with lots of quotes, and we'll address all that on the next Keys of the Kingdom on this last of the diverse lust sections. Till then, may peace be upon your house and God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.